Your organization represents a number of members, and I'm really interested to hear how things are going for them and what you're hearing during these COVID times.
They are finding ways to adapt and thrive during this time. These guys were, you know, really, you know, they pulled up the bootstraps and went to work making sure they could survive this and hopefully starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel here.
Anyone in the audio video editing space, and I guarantee you there's two things that they will tell you are some of the most awkward things that you could experience as an audio / video person. Number one, editing yourself. I do it on a weekly basis, recording podcasts, recording interviews, and having to go back and listen to your own voice. There is nothing more cringy than sitting at a computer and trying to edit out your ums and oohs and yeahs and all that sort of stuff. But we do it. It's part of the gig and how we get a podcast published every week. And it's fun at the end of the day, but you know, that's number one. Number two is, especially as an interviewer, is having the mic flipped on you. We do a lot, as a host of a podcast to prep questions and think about how we want to craft an episode, how we want things to go. But you know, it's weird being put in that position of being on the other side of the mic and having the questions thrown at you. And it's a different kind of challenge, a different way to approach an episode. But that's, you know, what I was faced with as, I was for, I think the first time, you know, I've done a lot of podcast episodes in my life. I can't remember the last time I was actually interviewed for a podcast. So this might have been my first podcast interview from the other side of the mic. And got to do it with Chris Schriever, the publisher of Sleep Retailer, who we recently had on the Independent Thinking podcast. And, I guess I did so well, you could say, that Chris decided he wanted to turn the mic around and have me on their episode, on their podcast. And we did that with a recent episode, talked about a lot of great stuff, you know, what we're seeing here at Nationwide with our members and, what's happening in the independent retail space and a lot of topics. You know, obviously COVID and the impact that's had on businesses was a big topic that we discussed and a whole bunch more. And, you know, honestly, it was fun. It's different. It's very different as opposed to, you know, being able to ask questions. So no, but it was a good time and happy enough that they shared the episode with us. So you can go listen to the Sleep Retailer podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and you can find it there. Episode 31 of the Sleep Retailer podcast with me as their guest. But they were cool enough to share that audio, and we're happy to do a little crossover here, with their podcast and put a little wrap on it and run it, you know, as you would hear it over there. So big thanks to Chris and his team and everyone at Sleep Retailer for their help getting this set up. So let's go ahead and an awkward transition, I guess. We're used to just diving right into an episode, right? But we're actually diving into someone else's episode. So here we've got the Sleep Retailer podcast featuring yours truly on as a guest. So here you are.
You're listening to the Sleep Retailer podcast.
Good morning. I'm Chris Schriever. I'm your host of the Sleep Retailer podcast. Thrilled to have Rob Stott with us here today. Rob is the communications manager for Nationwide Marketing Group, and we are thrilled to hear his perspective and really just to kind of dive in with what's happening right now. It's such a strange time. Rob, good morning.
Morning, Chris. Appreciate you having me on. And, it's fun. We had the mic pointed towards you a couple weeks ago, so I think I did well enough to have it turned around on me. Is that what we're going with?
I like it. Well, let's see how you do, Rob. Your organization represents a number of members, and I'm really interested to hear how things are going for them and what you're hearing during these COVID times.
Yeah, like you said, Nationwide, we represent over 5,000 independent retailers with some like 14,000 storefronts that all, you know, they go across multiple industries. So appliances, consumer electronics, furniture, bedding, outdoor, and connected services. But yeah, I mean, this COVID time has been, you know, certainly quite the upheaval on normal day-to-day business for retailers. But the inspiring thing, I think, is that they are finding ways to adapt and thrive during this time, given we're kind of past, I think, in most states at this point, the complete lockdown orders and starting to see business get back to some sense of normalcy with different measures in place and social distancing and that sort of thing. But I think adaptability kind of is the way you could boil it down to just what our members have done, what this industry has done of independent retailers across the country, and just inspiring to watch, you know, watch them fight for their business. It's not like corporate big box stores, you know, where, you know, they've got hundreds of locations all throughout the country and were able to stay open for the most part. These guys were, you know, really, you know, they pulled up the bootstraps and went to work making sure they could survive this and hopefully starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel here.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's a very important distinction. We're talking about a number of independent retailers who are relying mostly on one location to survive, that one physical location. Many of these companies also, of course, have an online presence that, you know, helps sustain sales and grow their company. But these are primarily individual retailers. Is that correct, Rob?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of one store location. We have, of course, members that have multiple locations. But yeah, you mentioned, I'm glad you brought up the e-commerce side of things. There's always been this push, I think, from the nationwide side to help members get online, get up and running, and not even just have a website in general, but have a website that is e-commerce ready where consumers can come in and make purchases. That's been an effort we've been trying to make to get members up on those kinds of websites, and certainly saw the willingness for them to adapt and start supporting those systems for their businesses. And I mean, they became a critical lifeline during this time. You can't really put it any other way, because when customers can't come into your store, the only way to make sales then is, unless you're doing it over the phone, is through a website.
You know, it's interesting. Do you happen to have any, you know, research soft perhaps that you could speak to on the number of retailers that you jumped in and helped advise them on how to get an e-commerce site started at, you know, perhaps the beginning of this?
Yeah, specific numbers hard to get into, but certainly, you know, we saw an influx of members wanting to get up and running on websites, and those that already had it, you know, obviously making the investment as well to improve their websites. And whether that was either just starting a website in general or adding services like digital chat, you know, video chat, text to chat services and things like that. You know, we certainly saw exponential growth in those areas for sure. So definitely, you know, excited to see members that were willing and able to make those kinds of investments to ensure that they were able to stay in business in some way.
You know, I'm interested to hear what insights you might have on consumers. They're obviously starting to return to stores. Any idea of what they're looking for as they do make their return to stores?
Yeah, answer there is everything. I mean, they're really looking for everything. And when you're talking about the categories that we serve at Nationwide and our members, you know, they sell so appliances, furniture, bedding, consumer electronics, you know, they've been looking for it all. You know, and just to circle back real quick to the website points, you want to talk about where they're going. So yeah, they're returning to stores, but they're also shopping more online. Traffic to our member stores has more than doubled during the course of the pandemic.
Wow.
It was already on sort of that upward tick of traffic increasing year over year. But, you know, we kind of see this as just the whole pandemic, you know, the way it's kind of forced retailers forward. We've been kind of joking internally that we're kind of living in this retail future right now. Because the way things were going from a digital perspective, they've kind of just been, the fast forward button's been hit, you know, and we're kind of seeing that play out in real time, which is, it's neat to watch that happen. But, you know, online traffic's up, like you mentioned, in-store traffic's starting to climb. And I mean, the products they're looking for doesn't necessarily pertain to the sleep side of things, but we know that appliances have been way up. It's impossible for our members to keep those in stock right now. Freezers in particular, you know, early on, the demand for those was high because people looking to store food, but certainly that has continued. More specifically to the furniture and bedding side, as people have been home, you know, sleeping on these mattresses, I think, you know, they kind of, you know, sit on their couches more often. Maybe they're doing some work from the bed or the couch. They're starting to realize how, you know, old or outdated or lumpy that couch or bed has become. So demand in those categories has been up as well. And, you know, sell through as well. The numbers we've been tracking, they're all up in almost every category across the board for Nationwide members. Sell through to consumers is up.
Interesting, you know, that we talk about how the retail environment has been pushed forward, right? I think consumers have also been pushed forward in that they're more comfortable now, not just doing the research online, but actually completing that purchase online and without even physically touching a product, be it a freezer or a bed or, you know, that trend had certainly started before all of this, but COVID has certainly pushed it forward, I think, dramatically.
Yeah, we actually not long ago caught a study that had come out. Adobe Analytics is known for, you know, tracking sales online, especially during the Black Friday season. They've got their regular reports that come out. They had a report. You want to talk about online traffic increasing. The months of March, April, May, or April, May, June, the height of the lockdowns, surpassed Black Friday holiday shopping season in terms of average sales online per month. So think about that for a second. I mean, Black Friday is always kind of when new records are set online terms of online sales and things like that. And I think that if I remember right, the averages were like $70 billion in online sales during Black Friday 2019. And in April, May, and June, online sales surpassed $70 billion. So, I mean, they were up close to $80 billion a month during the lockdown. So it's not a holiday time, but people were still willing to spend online. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see whether that continues. And that's kind of what, you know, we're keeping an eye on now is whether that, you know, that level of e-commerce sell-through sustains, or we kind of see sort of a normalization, you know, as we gear up here for, you know, looking at the calendar, almost Q4 already. So,
you know, that's a very good point. And it's interesting because then with all of that in mind, how has COVID changed or evolved perhaps the purpose of your organization?
I mean, at the end of the day, the heart of our mission is to serve our members, you know, to give them the tools they need to survive and thrive and, you know, succeed in their business. And we're always going to be a member-driven organization. So in that sense, we haven't changed. So we're still here for them, you know, producing the tools they need and giving them access to services and the vendor opportunities to be successful in their day-to-day. But watching what we've been able to do internally, you know, talking about the nationwide team and all the different departments and you know, everything that we have going on internally, it's I think nothing short of inspiring to kind of watch how we've all been able to come together, much like the retailers that we serve, you know, and develop different tools, whether, you know, it was a back to business hub. We've got shop safe promise programs that have been developed and all, you know, under the purpose of supplying our members with the whether it's personal protective equipment, things like that, or, you know, just some best practices to follow around this return to normal retailing with the coronavirus still out there. I think it's just strengthened our commitment to wanting to serve our members and make sure that they can be successful no matter what it is that they're facing, whether it's competition from big box stores, the influx in online competition, or a global pandemic.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's a very adequate summary, right? I mean, you're there for retailers today and tomorrow, regardless of what might be thrown our way. And that's pretty outstanding and a great resource for the retailer.
Yeah, we certainly try. You know, it's certainly, I think, a two-way street. You know, it's getting constant feedback from them about, you know, what are the tools that they need and making sure that we are, you know, providing the right level of, you know, resources to them or what it is that they need. It's a constant back and forth and learning and growing together.
Absolutely. And that's what we all are doing at the moment. Well, Rob, as always, it's great to connect with you. I think that, you know, one of the values I see with doing so is the number of retailers that you represent. And you provide a perspective that is very well informed. And to that end, I would imagine that there may be a retailer or two that has done something particularly interesting throughout this time that you might want to share a little bit about if you can.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you nailed it. We have a ton of members who are doing a lot of things. And, you know, I mentioned the work I've been inspired by the nationwide team. I've been probably more so inspired by some of the stories we've seen coming out of the membership. And in this space in particular, I know you guys probably are aware of Mattress Mac and Gallery Furniture down there in Houston. Seeing things that they're doing, providing free resources for back getting back to work in their area. I know he also did free food distribution, offering, I think, even mental health services and stuff. So cool to see stuff like that. There's other members. Shoey's Great Buys, a member in the Indiana area, right around Indianapolis. I mean, at the the outset, there was some laundry issues at a local EMS center. I think they donated a couple sets of laundry appliances. And then even like, you know, another Texas member, you know, leather furniture company, they're up in North Texas, you know, had a situation where, you know, they were closed as a store, but managed to take their resources. They produce furniture as well as sell furniture. So they took some of their supplies and started cranking out face masks and other gear like that. So, you know, those are just a couple examples, but lots of stories like that of members finding ways to turn around what they do and serve their communities. And that's what makes working in this space so awesome. And, you know, something that I love getting up to do every day.
That's, you know, it has been interesting to us as well to see how quickly a number of manufacturers have been able to pivot and to really help.
Yeah, and I'd be interested in your thoughts too, turning the mic around on you in the middle of your podcast, but SSB, the mattress that they came out with, I don't know if you guys had seen that. They're working with a Swiss company where they have like an antiviral mattress. So you mentioned, you know, manufacturers doing stuff. It's cool to see them developing an actual mattress that can cleanse itself of viral bacteria, and perfect timing to promote something like that, right? In the middle of a pandemic.
Absolutely. So. Great timing. And you know, it would be interesting to see how many products come out of this time that are healthier in nature, or, you know, maybe they're originally designed for the hospital setting and are being spec to be used at the consumer level. Rob, it is always great to connect with you. Thank you so much for taking some of your time, some time this morning to do so. We are grateful.
Yeah, appreciate the opportunity and look forward to having you back on our show.
We're ready. You just let us know.
You've been listening to the Sleep Retailer Podcast. Join us again next time for another great conversation about the latest bedding industry news, innovations, and trends.
All right. And, you know, again, a huge thank you to Chris for, first of all, for deciding he wanted to actually, you know, thought I was intelligent enough to have on their podcast and talk about, you know, some of the things we're seeing in independent retail, and, you know, felt like he could pick my brain a little bit. So I appreciate that, and more power to him for pulling the info he did out of me. So great interviewer, and, you know, again, appreciate them also sharing the audio and allowing us to share their episode. So again, be sure to go check out the Sleep Retailer Podcast on Apple and Spotify. And as always, we appreciate you listening to the Independent Thinking Podcast, and we will catch you next time.